Welcome to Disruptive Successor, a show for next generation leaders in family businesses and entrepreneurs who want to disrupt the status quo and take their existing business to a whole new level. We all know that what got us here isn't going to get us there. This show will provide inspiration, advice, and resources to help you create massive impact.
This podcast is sponsored by myself, Jonathan Goldhill, and my company, The Goldhill Group, where we provide coaching for growing companies. I'm Jonathan Goldhill, and my purpose is simple: to guide entrepreneurial leaders in family businesses towards more freedom and fulfillment. I want entrepreneurs to get clarity around the changes that will make them and their businesses more successful so they can experience the same freedom I've enjoyed in my life. Our proven practices challenge business owners to think differently about their business and how they're running it, and quite literally become game changers in our clients' companies. Learn more at thegoldhillgroup.com website, where you can schedule your free strategy session. Hi, it's Jonathan Goldhill, and welcome back to another episode of the Disruptive Successor Show. Today, we're going to be talking about process and procedures and systems in your business and the importance of why you need them. My guest today is Owen McGab Inawo, who is the CEO and co-founder of Sweet Process. It's an easy-to-use software that enables company executives and their employees to collaborate together to quickly document and or improve their standard operating procedures, processes, and policies. Owen's got a background as the previous CEO of Hire Your Virtual Assistant, which was a service for small business owners. His specialties include business development, negotiation, operations management, and more. And we are going to be talking about how companies and entrepreneurs can use programs like his, where he'll give you a special offer at the end, to help them scale their business. Owen, welcome to the show today.
So, Jonathan, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So, tell us a little bit about your background. You know, I always find it surprising when people have never heard of or even used a virtual assistant. It's becoming so popular. I know I've had one maybe starting back in 2004. I hired my first VA, and they were right up the street from me, Owen, which made it really easy when I wanted to, like, hey, could you do a mailing or something? But, you know, these days, our VAs, many of them are overseas. Mine happens to be in this country, but they manage a team of marketing assistants. But tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into the virtual assistant business, when you got into it. So just so we understand a little bit about what that's all about.
Okay, so some years back, I don't know exactly the specific time we started, but I can lead the story all to the way when we started Sweet Process. But before Sweet Process, I used to run an agency where this was an agency where I would provide entrepreneurs here in the US with staff who they could outsource work to. Basically, you know, all this back office work that they do, my staff will basically do. And at that time, this was very big for actually, you know, these larger companies like, you know, Verizon and all these, you know, companies, because they would literally have like large teams out there handling phone calls and all that. And so most people thought that, you know, it was only reserved for the larger companies. And then lo and behold, I think Tim Ferriss wrote this book, The 4-Hour Work Week. And even there's another author that wrote a book called The World is Flat. I forgot his name.
Thomas Friedman wrote that book, The World is Flat. Yep.
Yeah. At that period, and people began to realize that
outsourcing was the way to go, right?
More importantly, not only that outsourcing was the way to go, but even the small guys, the one with the smaller companies, can actually do it. It wasn't reserved for the larger companies. And so my focus then was on the small to medium-sized companies, helping them with staff. But a lot of them would come after reading that book, The 4-Hour Work Week, and would reach out to us and just believe that, you know, by magic, that, you know, they'll just hand over the work and magically on our end, my team will be able to do the work and everything will just happen like that. But I had to educate them that, hey, you know, the way for us to be able to do your work, you actually have to document procedures, processes and policies on how to do that. And as a matter of fact, we actually help them say, you know, if you don't have these things already documented, come sit down with us. Like back then, I think it was Skype. It wasn't really Zoom.
Yeah.
On a Skype session, we record the conversation and someone on my team would take what you've given us and literally create procedures, checklists for the work. And then when we take over the work, now we're not starting from scratch or magically creating the work. We're actually taking the work that we have actually documented how it's done and then start doing so that we can start giving the results you're looking for. And on top of that, improve upon that from then. And so that's what I was doing. And so okay. I think I was then invited on a podcast called Mixergy and it's hosted by Andrew Warner. And he has a podcast where he interviews, you know, startups and entrepreneurs who build companies in the tech space. And then also he has a course where people come and teach exactly how specific topics. So I was brought on to teach a specific topic. And the topic I was brought on to teach was how to document procedures and processes and how to streamline your operations. So lo and behold, my co-founder, Jervis, was actually a member of that of Mixergy's program, and he listened to the interview. And after the interview, he reached out to me and said by email and said, "Hey, he liked what I was teaching, and he actually is interested in having a conversation with me because he has some app he's trying to work on. He wanted to get my feedback on it." And this was on 2013, the fourth quarter of 2013, and we had this conversation, and I was like, "Dude, instead of building this app together, instead of building this app by yourself, we can build it together. But first, before building this app, let me spend some time talking to a bunch of people out there and see what their actual needs are so that we can take the common findings or common root issues they all have and use that as a starting point to build our app." Because back then, one of the issues we had when I was running the agency was that there were the tools that were available for documenting were either they were enterprise level tools. And so they were hard to use in the sense that the people that were our clients were not able to use it properly, or even my own team found it hard to use. And so because of that, we started hacking together a bunch of different tools to make it easier. But still, those tools were not built to do that. It was hacking. So that's why I said, okay, when I met my co-founder, I said, let me spend some time having conversations with people. And then we can have this conversation with the findings. We can build something from scratch that actually is simple to use, intuitive, and, you know, is based on the findings we got.
Okay. So that was a lot. And I want to back up and I want to unpack some of this because you're moving at 60 miles an hour. And the entrepreneurs that are listening to this, are some of them are like, "Hey, I know all this." And the other ones are being dragged along the back like like tin cans on the back of a bumper of a car. It's going so fast. So let's first back up and talk about the virtual assistant business, because I think it's really related to this. I think that there's way more processes that can be done by a VA than were ever conceived before. Historically, I think VAs were thought of as people who could do, they could do some outsourced bookkeeping. They could do appointment setting. They could do like appointment confirmations. They could do, help me out here. They could do business development, right? They could do some lead generation.
Lead generation.
You know, it's evolved into so much more. I have clients today who are outsourcing or using remote people to do estimating on construction bids, who are doing takeoffs and on designs of landscape drawings, who are doing detailed design work. I have a team that's working for me that's in India, and they are doing social media, which obviously is a popular thing for VAs to do, but they're doing a lot of outsourced marketing and web development and SEO and SEM. So there's a ton of things, but here's where I think the challenge is. And I'm going to speak for myself personally. My challenge is, and I've been working with these VAs for a long time, is putting these process and procedures together and putting checklists together. Like if you aren't a super somewhat conscientious, like rule-driven, checklist-driven, like a lot of entrepreneurs and the guys that you see that Marcus Lemonis from the Profit television show. Oh, yeah. He shows up to these companies. They have terrible processes and procedures. And the reason why they're fighting with each other is because they're terrible at putting these processes and procedures in place. So when I was just saying a moment ago, which is that, you know, these are the entrepreneurs that are literally like dragging along like tin cans on a string on the back of a fender of a car that's racing down the road. They're kicking and screaming. How do we get them to see that this is not so hard? This is something that obviously you've been through. You've had clients, I'm sure, when you were doing your VA and you work and you had to help them to document processes and procedures. How did you get them to come along first see the value of it? And then second, slow down long enough to figure out what does the process look like? How do you define it?
So getting them to see the value of it, to be honest, I feel like, you know, if the person is getting to the point where they're already overwhelmed because they have so much work to do and they're not able to get stuff done, to an extent, they already are bought into the idea that, hey, I need to go ahead and get somebody to take over the work for me. So I don't have to spend so much time trying to convince. As a matter of fact, you don't want to be spending that time convincing the person that they need this, you know, as opposed to the person coming to you knowing that they need this. And so it's a much easier sell from them. The next issue,
right, because they're tired of being the bottleneck in the business and this has got to end.
Yeah, it's got to end. So they already know that. And so they're looking for the solution. And so they arrive at, you know, for maybe some article or some content we created, and now they signed up for the service. So now the other thing is more about educating them on the understanding that, hey, for us to do the work, this was back then, for you to be able to give the work to somebody, the person needs to have instructions on how the work is done. But then the next thing that gets in their mind is, first of all, how do I find time to document this and how detailed these documentations have to be? And then I tell them, hey, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff, because once you have it in your mind that this is going to be a continuous improvement thing, you give your mind the permission that, okay, if that's the case, we're starting from version 1.0, which literally is not going to be that much, right? And from there, we show you how you and your employees, you know, like using our software suite process, can collaborate together and take it to the next level. So once that mindset, understanding that it's not going to be perfect and we're starting from version 1.0 is installed in their mind, then they also get to install that in the minds of their employees as well. So let me make it more concrete. Right. So when you're documenting a procedure, and hopefully we'll get to show you behind the scenes on suite process, how that would work. But
by the way, for people who are watching this on YouTube and, you know, if you want to do some demonstration, I encourage it, by the way.
Yeah. And so the way it will work is when you're documenting the procedure, I would say start with what I call a minimum viable procedure, where it's just the title of the procedure and the title of each of the steps.
Right.
No details filled in just yet.
Correct.
So how do you go from that to details filled in? Well, that is where you...
Let me just articulate that. And like, I know that EOS... Traction Tools is one of the sponsors of my show, that EOS has this three-step process documenter. And it reminds me of the way I wrote my book, which was basically first, like, what are the chapters? And then in each chapter, like, what are the main points that I want to cover? It's like writing the outline, the skeleton, you don't build if you were to make a body, you don't build it with just the skin and flesh. You have to have the bones first and the organ, the skeleton of it. So
that's a good analogy. So you have the skeleton first, in this case, the title of the procedure and title of each of the steps.
Right.
And then you can then work with your employees. Notice how I'm emphasizing that this should not be you or your manager responsible for filling out the details. It needs to be a collaborative thing where employees, people who have already maybe been verbally trained on how the task is done and they've already been doing it, be involved in that process of filling out the details. And that's how you begin to get the buy-in. That's how you get to begin to introduce them to the concept of, you know, we build this together, right? Yeah. And that's how you do it. And before you know, the next thing is, okay, how do you...
Do you find though still that like entrepreneurs who want to be in control and maybe they haven't let go of this micromanagement, that they are the ones that are still most difficult to keep on board with this process? Like they start it, but then they don't finish it or they don't follow through. Is there a lot of resistance that you find You know, it's almost like I'm going to go back to the Marcus Lemonis on The Prophet. Like, how many of those businesses does he go in and there's really no will to fix the broken processes or the lack of systems? And he walks away and he's like, this isn't going to go on television because these people don't want to fix it, or there wasn't enough drama in it. They just were, they were bored with the process. I mean, how many entrepreneurs get bored with the process of putting process together?
Well, so the thing is, you know, if they are already at a point where they want to make the changes,
yeah,
then I feel like that's where you can feed off that, because if they don't want to make the changes, you right. shouldn't be even bothering yourself.
So their pain, either pain has to be sufficient enough to make a buying decision, or their awareness of how important it is to their business is important.
And but another way to even help this kind of entrepreneur is, okay, identifying where to start. Mm-hmm. So there's different ways to, in terms of what you document. You can start by documenting those activities that actually bring in money into the company, mm-hmm. right? So that once you've yep. documented how, you know, the steps you take to bring more revenue into the company, then nothing stops you from getting more people who are qualified to follow your instructions on how you do it so that they can do it. And hence, way more money is coming in, right? There's nothing stopping you from that. Or another way where I tell people to actually start from is from those tasks that are actually the biggest bottlenecks, the tasks that are, you know, is required to happen, but it's taking so much of their time and they don't get a chance to focus on these higher revenue tasks. Because once you are able to document those bottleneck tasks and get somebody to take over based on your instructions, now you have more free time and more brain power to be creative
right.
and work on those revenue ones, right? So right. that's why I say start with the bottleneck ones first. And perfect. So you start with the biggest bottleneck task, document it, have your employees collaborate to improve upon it. They start doing work. Now you determine the next bottleneck task again after that one. Keep doing that.
So what does your experience tell you or tell us about bottleneck tasks? Are there, you know, a manufacturing business typically has these bottlenecks, a construction business, in your experience, do they typically have those bottlenecks? I mean, are there patterns to help people think in terms of where are your bottlenecks first? Because some people might just get stuck on like, I'm not sure where my bottleneck is. Do you see patterns emerging in certain types of industries?
The biggest pattern that I feel is, you know, where are you finding that, you know, if you are doing this very task and you are like in your mind, this is taking so long, I wish someone else could do it. That itself is the biggest trigger for you, right?
Right.
Even before that level is a question where you ask yourself, is this actually required, right, for me to do it? Mm-hmm. And if it's something where it's actually required, which means, you know, but if it's not required, you simply just eliminate it. There's no point to waste time documenting something that is not required. But mm-hmm. if it's required and you know it's required and while you're doing it, you're asking yourself, oh, you know, can somebody else do this? Well, then you're beginning to identify those areas that you yep. need to document. So it's yep. really a thing of, you know, the person who's experiencing this having to ask themselves some critical questions.
I get it. I like it. I mean, I think two mentors of mine, I wasn't actively involved with either of them, but Dan Sullivan of Strategic Coach used to ask the question, like, can someone do this 80% as well?
Exactly.
And if so, then delegate it. And Brian Tracy, the time management and sales management expert, he said, like, is this the most important or most valuable use of my time right now? Is this the most important thing I could be doing right now? And so I think, you know, if you can answer yes to either of those questions, then it's probably time to delegate. So you can elevate yourself in the company and work on the business more.
And I might even say that 80% is too high. I'm fine with 50% starting out.
Okay. Wow.
Because remember that the whole thing, the mindset is continuous improvement, right?
Correct. Right.
So, I mean, if you can get 50% in there and we're all coming into this, myself, who is initiating this in the company, my employees who are, you know, being involved in this, all have this mindset of continuous improvement. Even 50% mm-hmm. is fine, and mm-hmm. it improves over time, and it goes higher than that. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be 80%. Is what I'm saying.
Right.
We don't want to set too many high standards that prevent people from actually doing something.
Right. So sweet process. Let's understand a little bit about what the the interface looks like, the graphical, maybe even user interface. When I talk to my clients about putting together processes, I ask them first, like, what is the best way that you want to put this together? Is it written out like as it would be in a Word document? Are a lot of things on the computer screen? And so you would do videos, do video screen capture, because there's lots of screen capturing software. Should you do, you know, if it's field work, should you do video tutorials that are based on processes in the field? What is the suite process interface look like? And what do you recommend? Is it a combination of all these, or, you know, what?
So before I even share my screen and share the interface, those are great questions. And one of the things we did is when we're building suite process, especially when we started talking to people, we realized people have different ways in which they learn. Mm-hmm. Some people learn by reading stuff, so the need for text. Some people learn by actually doing the work, hence the need where we said, not only should our app be such that you collaborate together to document the stuff, you can actually do real work based on what you've documented. So people learn by doing. So our app caters mm-hmm. to that. Some people mm-hmm. learn by, you know, watching a video. So you can include video snippets into the stuff. So mm-hmm. all, they're about like four or five senses of learning, but we pay attention to all the different ways in which people can learn, and mm-hmm. and you can incorporate that into the documents that you create. So now I guess I'm going to go ahead and share my screen.
Sure.
If you give me a second.
Yeah, and as you're sharing this, one of the things that I've taught some clients, which they thought really was valuable, was this master apprentice model, where in the first step, the master does the work and the apprentice watches. And in the second step, the master is doing and teaching while the apprentice is helping. And then at the third step, and this is like a progression, the master is watching and teaching while the apprentice is doing. So it graduates, you know, and, you know, so it, you know, it's a really great, like, four-step progression. I didn't go through the four-step. Let's get into suite process and take a look and see what we got.
Yeah, but I mean, I like what you're saying, and you know, people can actually look up on that and see, you know, by having it such that you do the work and being there with them doing the work, and that way they can also learn from that. It has to be continuous feedback. Even when you give them the work, you just don't abdicate and leave it to them. You got to be in there with them with continuous feedback so that, you know, they can improve. But now this is suite process. This is the interface for suite process. And in suite process, you can document three types of documents.
Okay.
The first is procedures. So procedures, think of checklists. Step one, do this. Step two, do that. Mm-hmm. Processes is the next type of document. And so I'll explain processes real quick. So the way processes works is that there are some types of tasks where using a single checklist would not be sufficient for it, because the task itself, it's a large, complicated task. And so in this case, instead of it containing steps like procedures would contain, like, or like the checklist contains steps, what instead processes in suite process contains are actual procedures, because this very large task, you had to use a bunch of different procedures to document each part. And I'll show you an example shortly. And then the other type of document you can document in suite process is what we call policies. So policies are not step-by-step instructions. It's just like free-form information that you want to pass across to your employees. Be like, vacation policy, dress code policies. I'll use an analogy to even make it clear. So you're driving you're going on a journey, and let's say you're using a GPS. The mm-hmm. GPS says, turn left, go 10 miles, turn right on this street. That GPS is likened to a checklist, a procedure. But while driving on that road, you see a sign that says 30 miles per hour. That sign doesn't tell you step by step how to drive 30 miles per hour. It just tells you that while on this road, the rule is at this very point, 30 miles per hour. So that is likened to a policy, right? So now let's get started with procedures. So in suite process, you can document a procedure. If you have the document already, say your existing documents like Word documents, you can upload it into suite process, and mm-hmm. then suite process will, you know, basically ingest it and basically try to show it to you in our format. But if for some reason it doesn't come out the way you want it, then you can tweak it and make it look more like our format. Usually I like to start by actually creating it from scratch, so that way I get it in suite process format from day one, from the very beginning.
Right.
So now let's implement that concept of documenting a minimum viable procedure, like I explained earlier. So let's use something, Jonathan. Give me an example of an actual task, a very small task that you guys do quite often in your company that, you know, let's go ahead and document it.
Let's call it onboarding new clients.
Okay. So usually when I give the title of a procedure, I like to give a title that, you know, when someone sees the title of the procedure, they know exactly what it can accomplish. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to call it how to onboard a new client, right?
Yep.
Okay. And so what teams are kind of like, you know, departments, or, you know, think of like you have a department in your company. So what department would this apply?
Yeah. So this would be the sales team, and it hands over to the operations team.
Okay. So let's just go ahead and do sales team for now. And then next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to continue. And so now we are in the mode where we are going to start documenting the procedure. Just so you know, when you're creating a procedure, you can add tags to it. You can even add a description and all that. Mm-hmm. Just so you know. But now, what you will notice is while you're documenting the procedure and sweep process, the audience can actually now see that there's actually a visual to it, so that, you know, as you're documenting on the left-hand side, whatever you're doing is actually being displayed to you in form of a flow chart on the right-hand side. So let's make this first step number one. What is this step number one?
So first step, I think, is, well, for me, it's just to prepare the welcome email that's going to the client.
Prepare the welcome email. And notice how what I'm doing is, all I'm doing is just creating the outline, the minimum viable procedure, yep, title of the procedure and title of the steps. I'm not entering in any of the details, and I'm suggesting that you do not do that as well. I'll show you how to collaborate with your employees to do that. So now, next step is what?
I want to attach the file of the different things that I want them to have, the books that I want them to read, some initial coaching tools that I want them to prepare.
So for now, I just went, just to keep it simple on the instruction, I say attach the files. And obviously in the instruction, you will go into more details as to what that is. And so now let's go with one more step just for now. The next step is?
The next step is, that's a good question. So we
can make it up. It does.
Embed the video. Yeah.
Okay.
So embed. It's going to be watch my onboarding procedure video. Okay.
No problem. So we'll go with those three steps just for now. So as the manager, you can actually approve the document, but I'll show you a couple of things. So you can approve and notify, so that, let's say, for instance, this sales team has a bunch of employees in there, mm-hmm. and you want them to be notified about this document that has been approved.
Right.
Or, you know, let's say it's some kind of document where, for some compliance reason, employees need to come in and digitally sign mm-hmm. that, you know, they've reviewed it. Sometimes that happens. Mm-hmm. And then let's say for some reason you're working with another department where you need to get another manager who also has approval access to come in and just kind of like, you know, chime in and say, okay, you're doing the right thing. Request approval. But in this case, it's not that complicated. I'm the manager on this and I don't need anybody else. I'm just going to click approve. And now that document is approved. So remember, I said that we want to go from this to the next stage where, you know, we invite employees in so that we can collaborate together to build this.
Yes.
So one thing we did earlier is we added this document to a team, which was a sales team. So let's click on this.
Yes.
And you can see the sales team is checked. I want to first of all go see who is in my sales team, because this is a live demo. I don't even know who's in there. So mm-hmm. as you can see, there's nobody in my sales team.
Right.
So let me go ahead and add my test user who I use for my demo is in here. So say Owen Yahoo Test, that's the name of the person. Mm-hmm. And when you're adding somebody to a team, you can decide if you want to make that person a manager within that team. What that means is that employee essentially is a manager in real life and has the ability to approve changes to documents. But in this case, I'm going to say no. I'm just going to add him as a manager to add him as a user without manager access to the sales team. And now he's in there. I'm going to go back to that procedure I was working on earlier. So, okay. So how do we go from this document that I've created in here to collaborating and having feedback from my employees? So I can go ahead and now basically mention my employee and say, hey, you know, what steps are missing and what should go into each step, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now by doing that, my employee has been notified in real time by sweet process, they've probably gotten an email saying, hey, okay, I can literally just show that to you if I can open up my email real quick. This is my test user's email. So literally you see right there, he got notified by sweet process that, that this stuff here was sent to him. So he gets that message. He then goes into his own sweet process account and basically tries to get involved. So let me switch. Let me go back to where I was. And I'm going to switch my browser to a different browser because just to demo what happens when you're using, you're working with your employees. So I switched my browser from where I was to a different browser and I'm going to log in as my employee now. Okay, as you can see, it says Owen Yahoo Test. That's the user. When he comes in here, he can literally see there's a new. So basically how it works, he got notified by email. And then after getting notified by email, he comes in here. He sees that, there's a new document. He sees that, you know, blue icon on it that is new. Yep. And even you can even see that his boss, if I hover on it, his boss, who is me, is actually looking at the document. So he goes into the document. And so he can be that, you know, employee that just comes in here, comes to the comments, and starts giving you, I think, you know, feedback. I need you to add this. I need you to add that. Oh, he can be that proactive employee that we all want that just goes into the document and starts making changes.
Gotcha.
While at the same time, Sweet Process gives you the manager management oversight. So you see, he doesn't have the ability to approve the document like I did when I started. He gets to request approval. But let me just go ahead and make some real quick changes real quick. So let's say he decides that this very steps needs a form, right? And he needs to, what's the name of the customer?
Right.
So when the employee is going through this step, he needs to basically get to fill out a form field and enter the name of the customer. You can add videos, you can add forms, whatever. You can be as detailed as you need to be. But for this very step, he just did that. And then underneath this step, let's go back to that step. He decided that he wants to add something, wants to add a decision. And so basically, it can either be linear where everything is going in a straight line or it can branch out. And I want to just show that to you. So now he's asking a question. Is this a return, a new client? I'm just making up stuff. And if the answer is no, okay, let's go to attach file. I'm making this up. It doesn't make sense. But
yes.
If the answer is yes, okay, let's go and embed video. So you see in real time, as I'm doing that, a flow chart is basically is breaking down because what you're doing is creating that the way things actually work, right? And we're showing you in real time a visual, a flow chart of it so that you know what you're doing on the right hand side and how it matches on the visual side. But now he goes ahead to click request approval, chooses the manager he wants to get the approval and say, okay, I made changes. I mean, obviously he's going to give your employer will give more context than I'm doing, but just for demo's sake, I'm just saying that. And now he did that. And I'm going to get notified as the manager of what changes he made. So I'm going to switch my browser to the other browser where I'm the manager. And you can see there's a version on here that says a pending version. There's a previous version I did before.
Right.
It only has three steps. And there's a new one that says draft. And it was done by my test user.
Yep.
I go in there and I see, I like what he did. But if, for instance, I don't like, I can even see in real time that is in there looking at this document as well. Because we want you to know that this is a live document. People are working on it. And so if I don't like what he did, I can go ahead and delete this draft. And I can come into the comment and say, hey, you know, nice effort, but I don't think we want to go in this direction. But because I like what he did and it's, you know, I want to keep encouraging him to do stuff, I just go ahead and approve this document. And now we have a new version of this document. So go ahead.
So Owen, let's talk about, let's get high level, get away from the graphic. Let's talk about developing processes.
Should I stop sharing my screen?
Yes, please. And who is the one in the organization that ought to be doing this from your perspective? So my perspective, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is first, I would give it to a manager, maybe a leader, but I would try and push it down as far as I could to a manager that could do it. But I think most importantly, it goes to a person who has the capability of doing a good job with it. What are your thoughts?
That's a good a way to go about it. But my own view of it is based on, you know, where the company is in terms of the size of the company. So I would say if you're talking about like a company that has probably less than 20 employees, it mm-hmm. probably would be something that the CEO will be spearheading this
probably.
Stuff.
Right.
And then if you have a company, let's say between 50 to 100, at this point, they probably have hired like a chief operating officer or someone who is head of operations or general mm-hmm. manager, as they call them. Mm-hmm. That person will be spearheading this whole thing.
Yes.
And then when you're talking about the companies that like maybe 150 to 1,000, at this point, there's somebody even underneath the operations, the chief operating officer, who is usually like the operations manager. And there could be a bunch of them. And so they're spearheading this in their various departments. So I would assume that most of the people who are listening to this, correct me if I'm wrong, probably have less than 20 employees. So this would be more of a...
Probably less than 200 employees. Yeah, between 10 and 200 employees would be my guess.
Okay. So based on how I just given you the ranges...
Yeah, I think that's great.
You kind of
Very
know
helpful.
Where, you know, who will be spearheading it. But again, when the person spearheads this, it doesn't need to just fall on the person doing all the work. That person can use the same exact strategy of creating that minimum viable procedure and getting stakeholders to come in and fill it out. Because even before we're documenting this, I would assume that the work is already getting done to an extent. And maybe they're struggling with the fact that maybe the instruction is in someone's head and they're always, every time they come to do this task, they have to, you know, try and figure out, you know, how do we do it? But at least somebody has that knowledge. So the thing is really trying to capture that knowledge from the person. You can get that person involved by adding them to the document or to the team, like I showed you, and try and start soliciting feedback from them. But if for some reason the person is not able to do it because they're busy, you can always schedule some time with them, be on Zoom, and just have a conversation with them on how to do the task, record the conversation, and you can have someone on your team or you yourself go through that video and start taking the elements of that video, you know, breaking that parts of it into text and, you know, uploading the stuff in there.
Great.
Either way, you're getting it done.
Great. Great. Owen, you have an offer for listeners on this podcast.
Oh, yes. And so one of the things I want to offer the listeners is basically a way where they can have access to 52 standard operating procedure templates, because sometimes you want to start, but you don't know where to start. So one of the things we want to do is offer you a free, basically a PDF that has about 52 or so standard operating procedure templates. And the best way to go get this is if you go to sweetprocess.com/disruptive successor. Basically the name of the podcast you're listening to right now, but no space between the words, just sweetprocess.com/disruptive successor. I will give Jonathan the link to that, and he probably will share it on the show notes.
And absolutely. You guys and guys, if you haven't picked up a copy of my book, Disruptive Successor, and read the chapter on processes, chapter 12, page 175, it's not a long chapter. It'll give you some more background on why you should have processes, how it improves workflow, how it increases productivity and cultivates a winning culture and helps businesses scale. So, Owen, thanks for sharing your enthusiasm and passion, for sharing your program with us. And folks, if you haven't yet put systems and processes into your place, or you need some help, check out Sweet Process at sweetprocess.com/disruptive successor. And folks, if you like this show, give us a good rating on your podcast listening app of choice. And we also love to hear your feedback at any time. Thank you very much. This podcast is sponsored by myself, Jonathan Goldhill, and my company, The Goldhill Group, where we provide coaching for growing companies. I'm Jonathan Goldhill, and my purpose is simple: to guide entrepreneurial leaders in family businesses towards more freedom and fulfillment. I want entrepreneurs to get clarity around the changes that will make them and their businesses more successful so they can experience the same freedom I've enjoyed in my life. Our proven practices challenge business owners to think differently about their business and how they're running it, and quite literally become game changers in our clients' companies. Learn more at the goldhillgroup.com website, where you can schedule your free strategy session.
Thank you for joining us on the Disruptive Successor podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, review, and share with a friend who would benefit from the message. If you're interested in picking up a copy of my book, Disruptive Successor, go to disruptivesuccessor.com.